She is frightening.
No, that's not going to be in the show. I'm not going to talk about it.
Speaking of the show.
Yes.
We're in Adam's overly warm living room.
Is it you overly noticed? Warm?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I figured it's like 85 degrees.
I don't know how to point out that those of us with body fat, like it's somewhere below 90 degrees.
I figured the windows were open. The fan was on.
That fan?
Yeah.
That's going negative 3 miles an hour.
It looks like 5 paperback books on a spinner. I don't really think that's got the wingspan to cool this room.
It's got to the point now, if I turn up too high, it starts to go chee-chee-chee-chee-chee-chee-chee-chee.
I could wave at Rob faster than that fan is moving.
I am kind of warm.
I could turn the AC on, but I think it'll take, you know, the whole show to actually cool off.
You could increase the fan speed.
No, then it'll go
yeah, then the whole recording you'll hear.
That's your problem, sound guy, not mine.
You want me to increase the fan speed? I will. I will risk my life to increase the fan speed.
Because you didn't put on a cord that you could reach on it?
All right, You're right. I wouldn't have come anyways, but still.
So Adam has increased the sauna that we're in a little bit. The third voice that you've probably heard that we haven't introduced is Rob.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
All week?
You said come crash.
The Jerry Jones of the Greenville Comic Con.
Okay, well, so we're going to crash and
burn. You mean
burn.
One of the most hated men in the con industry?
Yeah, the most hated men in the con industry, yeah.
No.
We pay all of our guests way too much money to appear, and everyone snorts coke off the table. That's a great show, folks.
Well, if you look at the lineup, if you look at the lineup for the show, that's pretty cowboy-esque, if you ask me.
Well, we'll discuss a little bit more of that stuff in detail later on in our cast.
I think the first thing we need to mention is Cool Hand Luke died yesterday.
He did.
I mean, he's 83, so it's not one of those things where people should be saying that it's a tragedy or anything, because if you lived a better life than Paul Newman, congratulations, you know.
We can still use his salad dressing, and
it's true.
You know what's awesome about that company is, besides the fact that he makes tasty things, all of the profits for that company goes to charity.
Yep.
And I do have some of his marinara sauce in my refrigerator right now.
And we actually use
for what, lettuce?
No, for calzones.
I mean, he was a movie star in an era where, you know, people weren't making millions of dollars to make a movie. And I read online in one of his obits that
it must be true.
That Newman's Own has made $250 million of profit, and once they pay their bills, all of their profit goes to charity. So that's $250 million that he's given to charity that he could have pocketed. I'm sure that's more than all of his movies have made combined. It might be more than a lot of his movies made, because again, he hasn't had a tremendous amount of modern day hits that would have made millions and millions
but
of dollars.
A lot of it's on DVD and stuff.
Well, I'm talking about like theater release.
Oh yeah, well, that's different.
I mean, I'm sure Cool Hand Luke sold 900 billion copies of DVD.
Exactly.
But I mean, back when it ran in the theater, it's not like it
and
made.
What was the pool movie with Tom Cruise?
Color of Money.
Uh-huh.
That's a great movie.
So yeah. Anyway, Cool Hand Luke, yeah. RIP.
In
this show, we always have a failure to communicate.
It's true. We ended up with 2 voicemails. Thank you, those who care.
I wasn't one of them.
No, I'm going to play them now.
Okay. One of them is from Justin in Tennessee, who we, as far as I know, have never heard from either as a commentator or previously. So thanks for calling.
Yeah, definitely. And then Terry, who you guys may have heard from.
I think his phone message was as long as the interview we did with him when we called him about his trip to San Diego.
If he was looking for a mini cast, I think.
I think Terry's angled for more airtime.
So, yeah, we're going to play those right now. You guys enjoy those, and then we'll be back on the other side.
Bye-bye. Hey, Dollar Ben, this is Justin from Memphis, Tennessee. I don't really have anything to say to you guys, but I just wanted to say, love the show. Been a listener for a while now, and I've enjoyed all of your discussions and conversations and historical accuracies that you've brought to my attention, and you've really helped my comic reading and my entertainment, and just love everything you guys do, and it's great to see a slice of the South Carolina pie down there. So keep up the good work, guys. Memphis likes you.
Hey guys, it's Terry in Kansas City. Just wanted to leave a voice message so you guys would quit whining about it. First off, Tiny Titans and Billy Batson and the Magic of Shazam are two of the best books on the shelves today. There's no reason that someone should not be buying them. Great writing, great art, really super low price. They're $222 each or $225 each. I mean, that's the highest quality to price ratio in comics today. Secret Invasion and Final Crisis. Secret Invasion, the two of them feel like two sides of the same coin, where I read Secret Invasion and I go, wow, that was amazing, and then it's just sort of gone. But I read Final Crisis and I go, wow, that was amazing, and then it can't get out of my brain for weeks and weeks. My brain is, you know, constantly trying to put together the puzzle that Grant Morrison has laid out, whereas Secret Invasion is just popcorn. Amazing Spider-Man with the Thunderbolts. I was so excited when I saw this because I just recently grabbed all the Warren Ellis issues of Thunderbolts out of some back issue bins and was really enjoying them. And then I pick up Amazing Spider-Man. I'm like, Slott? Romita Jr.? Thunderbolts? Mark Waid's doing backups? Wow! And then I read it and I'm like, oh, okay. No. It's just not good. I don't know if I'm comparing the Amazing Spider-Man part of it to Straczynski's run, or if I'm comparing the Thunderbolts part of it to Warren Ellis, but it's not doing anything for me. The Stand, it was all right. It just felt like it was really slow. I listened to the audiobooks at work a couple of months ago. I just spent like a full week doing nothing but listening to The Stand, and I don't know. For $3.99, no, wasn't worth it. I'll wait for the trade or the hardback or whatever comes out. And just to throw this out there, Jay Lee's artwork in the Dark Tower stuff is weak. It's weak. All-Star Superman, masterpiece. It was just perfect. You want to say I'm drinking the Grant Morrison Kool-Aid? That's fine. Say it, well, as long as it's not like Grant Morrison flavored Kool-Aid. I don't know that I would enjoy that. But yeah, it's the perfect Superman story from issue 1 to issue 12. It's perfect, and I don't want it to continue in any shape, form, or fashion. Just let these 12 issues be what they were. This past weekend, I was at the MoCon Comics Conspiracy MiniCon here in Kansas City. I met Phil Hester, artist from Green Arrow, and really nice guy, really super nice guy. I bought a page from him. The page was cheaper than, you know, some guys, you know, 9x11 sketches, and I have an original Green Arrow page from Phil Hester. It's awesome. I met Sergio Aragonés of Gru fame. Really nice guy. Got an autograph, little sketch of Gru on there. Met Mark Evanier of, again, of Gru fame. I think it was like a Gru-themed con. Evanier was a really nice guy. Stan Sakai of Usagi Yojimbo fame, when he was there. Little tiny man. Didn't realize how small he was. You can almost fit him in your pocket. And I got a sketch from a local guy named Monty May. He does a webcomic called Pigtails. It's at pigtailsonline.com. It's a webcomic about farcical police officers. It's pretty entertaining, you know, for free. That's about all I've got. I was going to talk about Heroes, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, so... That's all I've got. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So, if you leave us a message, you'll make it on the show.
That's right. And I think I actually...
would it be cheesy if I left a message this time?
Message to get on the show?
I want to be on consecutive weeks.
Superstar. I think I did promise last week a Project Superpowers variant to whoever left our first voicemail.
So that would be Justin?
That would be Justin.
Sweet. So you need to email Adam your contact information.
Yeah, adam@thedollarbin.net, and I'll send that to you if you want it. If not, I understand, because that book's not very good. But it's a variant, so you can't argue with that. It's a free variant.
Yeah, can I offer a prize to the first person to leave a voicemail this week?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. They'll get into the Greenville Comic Con for free, and they'll get $25 worth of cash to spend.
Whoa.
That's a lot better than that crappy variant that Justin just won.
You suck, Adam.
So make sure you can come to the show.
Yeah. Yeah. This does not include airfare, hotel.
No, it doesn't include airfare, hotel, and a schmoozy dinner. But make sure you can come to the show, and you'll get in for free, and we'll give you $25 of cash to blow at the show.
Wow.
That's quite the prize.
What's that number again? That's a good question. 864-335-9148. That's 864-335-9148. So that's the number. Again, we do not yet quite have what that stands for, but we're going to find something to spell it out. A little later down the road, we're going to have a contest for that one. So get your thinking caps and all that crap on. And, you know, when we have that contest, you can start throwing some maybe something that spells out.
Cool. So speaking of crap, what did everybody read this week?
Do you want to kick off, Rob, or do you want one of us to warm the waters a little?
Oh, no, I'm fine. I read Solomon Cain.
Warm the waters.
I haven't read that yet, but I've heard great things about it.
That was from me, right?
Other than you as well, but you did mention it to me.
Great book, has a great feel. If anybody's read any Robert E. Howard stuff, any of the Conan stuff, any of the Solomon Cain stuff, it's been reprinted in recent years.
Yeah, the art looks fantastic in it.
The art is awesome. The story is good. Nice, creepy Solomon Cain Puritan story.
Dark Horse.
Yeah. There is a free Solomon Cain story, I believe, on Dark Horse's MySpace or on the Dark Horse website.
Sounds like something they'd do. They've been doing a lot of stuff like that. They did that whole Dark Horse MySpace comic collection.
MySpace shows a lot of love to comics.
Mm-hmm,
I'm quite pleased with their comic interest.
Mm-hmm.
The Solomon Cain book is good. There's even a variant Joe Kubert cover. Much love to Joe.
And the artwork is very festive, so, especially when somebody's guts are getting spilled.
There's a little bit of gut spilling. It's good. It's been, you know, nice big sword with Solomon Cain, guns, brigands trying to kill people, horror story. It's Solomon Cain all the way.
One of the covers was by Cassidy with colors Laura Martin. You have something this week?
I'm going to go ahead and we mentioned last week the Lady Bullseye storyline was starting up and how I had
Daredevil.
And Daredevil, sorry. And Daredevil, the Lady Bullseye storyline is starting up and I had mentioned how I didn't have the highest hopes for it. It seemed kind of silly. Devin said, you know, he's putting full trust in the Brubaker. I'm going to say that I really enjoyed this book. It was part one of the Lady Bullseye series. And really, none of it was because of Lady Bullseye. The Lady Bullseye character is a little bit more interesting of a character than I thought she was going to be. She's kind of like this, you know, if you guys want me to just explain it, I will, since you asked.
We asked?
Not you, the people listening. She's a character.
He's hearing voices now.
She's a character who, basically, she's a girl that was inadvertently rescued by Bullseye years ago as a child. She was like a sex slave or something. He just happened to be killing all the people.
And just didn't kill her.
And didn't kill her.
The one person in the room.
And so when she escapes, she finds that opportunity to escape and decides that, you know, that's what she wants to be. She wants to be Bullseye. So she grows up, trains, and does all that stuff. She gets hired by the Hand to kill off a few of our favorite New Avengers superheroes. And so that's her little storyline that's going on. Now, the real storyline, if you ask me, in this book, although that does tie into the real storyline, is this little relationship faux pas thing going on that occurs with...
Matt Murdock dooms another woman to death.
Yes, Matt Murdock dooms another woman to death. Apparently, getting shot was not... I feel that maybe Dakota felt that when she was shot, she was supposed to have died because she has decided to cross the friendship line with married Matt Murdock, whose wife is in some sort of asylum kind of mental hospital thing. And apparently she felt she should have died when she was shot. So now she's taking that next step toward death
because you would think as his private eye,
yeah,
that she would know that every woman that he has ever had relations with is doomed in one way or another. So obviously she has a death wish.
And as Brian pointed out earlier today when we were talking about it, you know, it just shows that the draw of Matt Murdock.
I think that's his superpower. Forget the sonar crap. His superpower is to be able to pretty much nail anything he wants, despite being a broke-ass blind lawyer in Hell's Kitchen, of all places.
With luck that makes Peter Parker look like he won the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, the chick is in, like, what we use as an example is the chick is in the presence of Danny Rand, who uses some of his dragon magic to heal her
Danny
shoulder.
Rand.
And he's got the shirt open. They're in his, you know, penthouse of his corporate, you know, he's a billionaire, a good looking billionaire who's not blind and who has magical dragon powers, and she's like, I'll go fuck the blind guy who every other woman he slept with is all dead or insane. Good choice.
No blind people were harmed during the taping of this podcast.
I'm gonna say, you know, personally I'd have gone
no offense to blind people, but sight or not sight, you know. Yes, I'm a scumbag.
Since we actually may have a visually impaired listenership.
I would love it if you would leave a message. I'm being serious.
Let us know.
You can call Brian and ask. It's okay.
No, I'm being serious. Like, you know, what's your interest level in comics?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's curiosity. I don't know.
Personally,
that would be interesting.
Personally, I'd have gone with Danny Rand.
I would have too. I'd go with Danny Rand now.
I think I'd go with Lady Bullseye.
Danny, give me a call.
Saying. Ancient right. Chinese secret.
I've done worse things for money.
Moving on.
Speaking of worse things for money, Deadpool 2, Deuce came out.
Yeah.
And he's working for Nick Fury.
Are you still enjoying it?
In the whole screen. Yeah, I like the second issue.
I just read through it and I had to keep from laughing out loud a couple times.
I am completely in utter fucking shock that guy is able to do anything I'll enjoy with that character. Because, you know, again, if you don't believe me, go look at those Wolverine origin issues that he wrote. Besides the fact that they're terrible Wolverine stories, they're atrocious for that Deadpool character. Horrible. I mean, I didn't know who I was reading. I thought Liefeld took the book back over. It was so bad. But this is very much in line with the Cable Deadpool series, which, even though Cable sucks and is a worthless character, was very good for the Deadpool character.
Deadpool's always funny. I mean, if you write Deadpool right, it's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, he's insane and he enjoys it. So how is that not funny?
It's kind of like recording a podcast.
But I thought I loved it when Nick Fury popped up. That Nick Fury was like, you know what? What can I do to really fuck with those guys? I'll know. I'll send him the craziest son of a bitch I know.
Hey, you guys take him off our hands.
Let's see. If I send him against the Skrulls and he dies, points for me. If he kills some of them, points for me. It's a win-win situation.
He drives their scientist to blow his own brains out. Yeah. Points for me.
And the way that he messes with the Skrulls is very entertaining.
I believe he convinces them to basically clone a bunch of him. And
he uses... he convinces them.
He drains them.
Yeah, he convinces with his healing power, because they beat him up and stuff, and he's like, I'm still here. You didn't really do anything to me.
Yeah.
So he convinces them kind of snidely that, well, you know what? If you use my DNA on your super soldiers, then besides the powers... Yeah, they can't die. How can you beat that?
Yeah.
So then when they use him to make super soldiers, tactics. They're insane, and he trains them to kill all of their other super soldiers.
Really?
One of the first steps in training is to cut off their own hands. He goes, you'll lose body parts all the time. You need to get used to it. It's great.
Wow.
Awesome book.
I'm incredibly surprised. Very pleased.
I'm still not going to read the book because it does sound highly entertaining, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. But I'm going to say I'm happy I have not murdered Daniel Way yet.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a guest at Heroes Code next year?
He's a guest every year.
Great.
I'll actually have something. Daniel, I might actually Indy want Island to talk to him next year if this book continues to be decent. Him. Yeah. Because before I was like, I might kill him, you know.
Would
not
you
give really.
Permission to treat you as a hostile witness?
We don't really want to kill Daniel Way. We're over-exaggerating. But we did not want to talk to him because Wolverine Origins was horrible. And I thought that the Deadpool book, which is probably my favorite Marvel character since Spider-Man doesn't exist anymore. You know, I thought he was going to write a book that was going to be completely awful with him, too. So,
yeah.
Very pleased.
That one was very funny.
Brennan?
Brennan.
The comment you left on the board about Secret Invasion, you very much hit that spot on. I'm just kind of tired of the whole crossover. So it's not that it's bad, because like the House of M story about New Avengers, it's a solid comic. I'm just kind of tired of the crossovers. Just kind of crossover it out. So even though it's good, it doesn't have the zest for me.
What else you got? Anything else, Rob?
Actually, I read Captain America.
Well, you should.
And we all know my addiction to the great Captain.
Yes. This,
Morgan?
Morgan? Let me throw out real quick.
That
I don't,
too.
That this was the last issue of the storyline.
Yeah. And he actually kind of brought it to a close.
I'm very happy with the way it was wrapped up.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, you're not going to close anything completely.
But you can't drag it out forever. And it got to the point where even though we really liked that book, we were kind of saying, can we get to something else?
Yeah. And so the thing of it is, I say that a lot. I don't really know why. The thing of it is.
You said it again.
No, I didn't say is. I said the thing of it is.
People don't talk like that.
You don't talk like that.
You don't talk to
you're not
people.
A people.
Well, you know, they're going to a new storyline. We know that Red Skull is still kind of out there.
Kind of.
Yeah. But
so do we have a Red Skull and an Arnim Zola or two Arnim Zolas?
It's kind of.
Is Red Skull in an Arnim Zola with the Russian dude. So now we have three guys in there screaming
at
each other.
Yeah, that's what I think, that Zola's in the computer.
Yeah.
And Skull's in his body. But is the Russian guy still about? Luger. Or did he die?
Yeah, I don't know.
And didn't they have the cosmic cube, or did...
No, that not even... That got
destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Man, that was a long time ago. I don't remember.
They ended up losing it.
I know he doesn't have it, but I don't remember what happened to it.
Doesn't...
We are so well informed.
I read too many comics to remember that.
But you actually brought that book up, Rob. Would you like to talk about your opinion of it?
It's been, in my opinion, the best Captain... I've been reading... I have a full run of Captain America from his first appearance to this one. It's the one book that I've stuck with forever.
Yeah.
This has been one of the best storylines I've ever read. I love Sharon Carter, the whole deal with her and the baby, and, you know, murdering her baby daddy.
She
was pregnant.
I don't remember anything about that. Maybe Faustus got to me too.
I wish somebody would get to you.
Could Faustus tell him to forget who he is? That would be great.
I'd tell him to forget lots of things.
Yes, it was actually a very good issue.
And it was nice seeing villains turn on villains for a change.
Which they should always do.
They should. they're working? Yeah. I mean, they're working together. Why? To work for the greater evil? I don't really understand that.
More money, more problems. As Faustus found out, kind of went out on his own.
Story's been great. Great how they've handled Bucky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being Cap. I mean, they managed to bring back Bucky. It was the one thing I always swore I would never read a story if they brought back Bucky. They made me a liar. They did it well.
Yeah. At least Uncle Ben's still dead.
Yes. Don't hold your breath. He was a Skrull, right?
Yeah. Man, they sort of brought Gwen Stacy back and gave Spider-Man kids. And
well, I think Satan was actually a Skrull.
Unfortunately, people have asked Quesadilla that specifically, and he says no.
Is Quesada a Skrull?
I wish.
You know, he could be.
They don't actually exist.
As you.
Comic book character. No, there's a picture of a little girl Skrull right here in the centerfold of this book. Yeah, what are you talking about?
They're playing baseball.
She's got an ice cream cone and stuff, man. Embracechange.org. Brian, we should get an ad plug for that.
Do you refuse to embrace change?
Yes, I do.
Brian, Alien Nation. That's where this is going.
Which is, if it's as bad as that, I won't be reading it.
Alien Nation.
I think that's one of my problems.
Is that the B television series, Alien Nation?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the direction this is taking.
I at this point, I do now, too.
Do you
have
any Captain here for me to drink while we finish the podcast?
That lessens my enjoyment of the series, too, because it's obvious now that, I mean, we knew...
Humans and Skrulls living together!
Mass hysteria!
But nobody really knows that the Skrulls are living there, because they don't look like Skrulls. It's really like your dog Fido.
I think they're
going to
be Skrulls.
They're going to be Skrulls, yeah. I think
Alien Nation is what it's going to be.
I think they're going to live in harmony after this.
And it's just like Civil War, in that not only is Marvel not giving us any sort of closure...
A Skrull Stevie Wonder.
It's just continuing.
Why? Oh.
Live in it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm tired of everything being the crossover to the next crossover.
Well, what did you feel about New Avengers?
Well, like I said, I thought it was good, but I'm tired of it. Tired of the crossover to the crossover, where every book is tied to something else. I want standalone freaking comics.
It'll happen when people stop buying them.
Not gonna happen.
I'm gonna start. I'm serious. I mean, this sounds like cannon fodder coming from a superhero fanboy. But I am going to stop buying these books. I'm going to start buying more Image comics.
I already am.
And I'm buying more than I ever have before. And I'm going to start, you know, Invincible doesn't tie to shit. Walking Dead doesn't tie to anything.
It ties into,
Savage Dragon.
Capes. You know, I'm tired of having to read every Batman comic in a crossover that doesn't make sense.
Invincible.
I'm tired of having
Spider-Man,
to read every, you know, Marvel comic in history that's been printed to understand Brian Bendis' crossover that he's all writing himself.
Well,
fuck all of
you, it. You've read House of M, right?
Yes.
Because I read... pseudo Red House of M. I read some of it here and there. How'd you feel about the way it tied into that? I don't think anything even happened in New Avengers.
It didn't.
At all. I don't think it revealed much of anything, except for they didn't get the mind wipe thingy and they freaked out and threw up.
The issue is basically kind of full of nothing.
Yes.
Because it only gives the viewpoint of two of them, and they know that something's wrong, just like a few of the heroes knew that something was wrong, that their reality is not right.
And
I don't understand why they would know, considering that they were living a lie that was living a lie that was living a lie.
Yeah, apparently Maximoff, Wanda Maximoff's super reality shifting powers do not expand to those that are not actually from Earth.
Well, all of the Skrulls didn't rise up and do something, though.
It's true as well.
So, I mean, it was only focused on two.
Maybe they did. It just wasn't important to the story. But I do think that the fact that at the end of this, when they're talking about how now there's fewer mutants and this was like part of the prophecy, and they find out about the Annihilation, which I just borrowed from Brandon and plan on reading really soon. Thank you, Brandon. And it rolls into the, you know, and it was written A World of Blue for the Home of All That Believed. And I think that that's kind of, I think they are misconstruing everything into thinking that the Earth is going to be theirs and theirs alone, when I think maybe the prophecy they're going to find out meant they're going to live in harmony with those of the planet.
Anybody that has a belief system that they formed to center around their entire life is subject to being a full believer, where they view everything as being some sort of sign.
Sure.
You know, if you left your keys in the house and your house blew up, that doesn't mean that Allah or God or Yahweh or anybody else wanted you not to die. You know,
being like pro athletes.
And yes, God did not want you to win the Oscar. I'm sorry. He really doesn't give a shit. Kind of more busy than that.
I didn't say any of this.
But I think that that's...
Don't hate me.
I'm not attacking anything. I'm just being honest.
My mom told me I need to start being more careful with what I say on the internet.
But no no deity plans out...
Your mom listens to the podcast? Yeah.
Sometimes. She actually read our forum last week.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I apologize for everything I've said in there.
Thankfully, she didn't read the porn message thread from last 2 weeks ago's show.
However, I think she will now.
However, Richard did, and he now continues to give me crap for it, relentlessly.
Richard, why are you reading something labeled porn?
Wants to know if he has to bag the whole website. but my roundabout point for all of that,
business cards there should be in plastic bags.
Is that
you want to make something that would be hilarious?
Is that it's a we'll small group of them that is being fanatical. So they are believing that everything that happens is
a sign that is a sign
leading them directly.
That he loves them.
Yes.
That's really nice.
I do think that was a great drop in by Bendis to have it be them say God.
Yes.
That might be one of the things why humans accept them.
Maybe. It may be.
I don't know what Bendis's religious interest or not interest is. I don't know if he's somebody that has a bone to pick.
Well, but even just because he's writing it.
I think he utilizes things like that, I think. However, speaking of God and reading signs and things like that, I'm going to continue to push this book. And the last issue just came out.
This would be a segue.
And into a new book here.
I didn't want to ruin it for him. I let him go with it for once.
The last issue of the Marvel Knights Angel storyline. It's 5 issues. It's going to be on trade soon, I'm sure. It's really good, people. Seriously, it's really good. I wouldn't lie about this. It's a really cool story. It's Angel from the X-Men. It's kind of his origins of Not Angel from Buffy. Angel from the X-Men. It's Marvel Knights.
Right. Not the Los Angeles Angels either.
Right.
Of Anaheim.
Yeah. it's really daggone good. The art and it's
of
really,
Anaheim
really
of California.
Good.
Yeah. Of the Southwest.
The art and it's really good. The storyline's really cool. It's a cool origin of a character that, you know, I don't ever think about.
Is retelling his origin?
It's his origin. Yeah. It took 5 issues to go, my kid was born with wings.
No, because it's a Marvel.
And we were rich, by the way.
And we were rich.
It's a Marvel Knights retelling. It's basically about his, basically he grows his wings when he's at prep school. His wings show up and he's trying to hide them. And, you know, all of a sudden he ends up being really good at athletics and stuff.
Puberty's a bitch.
And he breaks the, high jump record because he's like losing weight like crazy. Because his bones are also hollowing out because he's a bird. So he's able to do all these things.
But he wasn't on the swim team. That way he could.
he doesn't really like taking his shirt off.
The next Michael Phelps.
But it's really cool. It's a coming of age story of a guy with wings.
There's a crazy guy
in there who basically thinks it's his job to kill all these abominations that he's hunting down. One of which ends up being Angel. It's really cool, man. I'm telling you, it's good, and it's written by the same guy. And I've yet to say this guy's name, and I guess I can give it a run here. But he's the feller that is doing
Feller.
Yes, the feller.
Y'all from around here?
He's right in the stand right now, and he also did the Sensational Spider-Man before it got killed off, and that is Roberto
Clemente.
No, was it
He's got a hell of an arm.
Aguirre Sacasa. Anybody know how to say that? Call and leave us a voicemail. How do you say that? It's Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Have him call us and leave us a voicemail.
Yes, somebody get him to call and leave us a voicemail.
Come on, we're plugging your book here.
But yeah, like solid. Solid work. He's also doing the stand right now, which is pretty good. This was solid.
Anything else, book-wise?
I've got superpowers. Do you guys like superpowers?
What is superpowers?
Is that the Alex Ross thing?
The Alex Ross thing.
The Project Superpowers?
Yeah.
Now, didn't you just hear me bashing that book earlier?
You say things on the show?
Oh, you were probably talking. I was reading if you were talking. Sorry.
Table. Okay. Now, no, are you, so you're still reading that? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying I'm still reading that.
Because even Devin,
Devin
stopped reading that.
I will tell you why I'm still reading it.
Okay. I stopped on number two.
When I was a wee lad, I picked up a book about Golden Age comics, and there was this guy with the skull and crossbones on his chest, and I just thought he was cool.
Punisher?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Oh, he doesn't have crossbones, does he?
No, he doesn't have buccaneer boots and a cool cape either. And so, Captain America tag there, I have to tag him. So, once they put him in here, for me, it was one of those things, if this is just a character for some reason that I liked as a kid, and I've continued to like, but didn't know much about. So, you know, I've basically been picking it up till the series is over. And yeah, it's not as good as it could be, for sure. But I have spent my money on worse by Marvel and DC, I'll say that as well.
What is Ross's actual contribution to
concept.
Is it just his name? Is he doing any of the art?
Character designs. I think he did an overall plot kind of thing.
I think so.
Same thing he probably did with the Avengers Invaders.
Which I'm also not reading.
Plot covers. It's got him down for plot covers and art direction.
Yeah.
Which Dynamite does a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
Matt Wagner has art direction on Zorro and
Dynamite. Mm-hmm. He also writes that though, so at least he's actually doing some
and
work.
And that Cassidy guy on Lone Ranger, plug, read that damn book. It's awesome.
Cassidy does the art in it?
Art direction.
Okay. He does like some covers and stuff
does
like
covers
that.
And the book, if you like Westerns, Lone Ranger's a good book. What it's not it's not a fast-paced book, I will say that.
What do you think about the new Lone Ranger movie they're pitching? Have you heard about it?
Well, I heard Johnny Depp is Tonto, which means I won't be seeing
Shouldn't
the movie.
That be Lou Diamond Phillips? Where's he been?
He's like 87.
Yeah, but come on, in Young Guns 2, when he asked him to pull the knife out of his arm, tell me that wasn't a cool scene. You want your knife back?
That was 27 years ago.
Whatever happened to Lou Diamond?
Worse than...
remember when he was in Bats?
Worse than Johnny Depp being Tonto, though, is the rumor that I heard floated around for Lone Ranger is George Clooney. Now, I like me some George Clooney.
Did an awesome
Batman. You shut your hole. I'll stab you in your own house.
Can we finish the podcast first? I can...
Put
the knife down,
maybe.
It's like it's already recording.
I can cut it off, maybe.
Hey, all the screams are special effects.
I like George Clooney like as Danny Ocean in Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Not as somebody in a Western.
What about in Ocean's 13?
13 was better than 12.
I've never seen 12 or
13. What about the vampire movie?
That's an awesome
movie. He was in a vampire movie?
Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, I forget that was
Come on,
he gets
to knock out Quentin Tarantino. That's great.
It also has that awful scene where Selma Hayek's super sexy, and then she turns into a hideous vampire.
That was horrible.
But the dance scene before that...
How can you ruin such a hot half-naked chick?
The dance scene before that is bonerific.
Oh, yes.
I do like me some Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm, it's a good movie.
Even though it does have Quentin Tarantino in it.
Holy water and water guns. That's all I'm saying.
See, I'm not all that thrilled with the idea of a Lone Ranger movie. So
I'd like to throw out real quick.
Throw this out real quick.
Oh, I'm throwing this whole thing out. We also spoke last
show
week.
With no name.
It's gonna waste our time sitting in the oven.
We spoke also last week about
show with no name.
About Back to Brooklyn. Garth Ennis, Jimmy Palmiotti. This is another one of those things where I opened it up and it's like, okay, story by Garth Ennis and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Over here.
Written by Garth Ennis. So, I'm like, wait a minute. So, what did Jimmy Palmiotti
plot
do? You know?
By Jimmy Palmiotti.
By Palmiotti.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Which is fine. And, okay, so I read the whole book. It's okay. It's not as great as I thought it could be.
Yeah.
The art in it's really good. And
in parts. In pieces.
Yeah. And the best way I can think to compare this for anybody is it's like a not quite as good criminal. I think it very much has a criminal feel to it.
Yeah.
It's not quite as good, which is why I just said it's a not quite as good criminal.
Well, you need to clarify that, though. Because
it's not bad.
Because Criminal is the best comic on the stands right now.
No, yeah.
So everything is not quite as good as Criminal. Right. Can you tone that back a little bit?
It's true. It's still good, but it just has that Criminal feel. You know, there's the main character's a criminal. And he's kind of doing his thing, and it has a criminal feel
Today's
to it.
The secret word is criminal.
However, I will say that this book is very much worth purchasing, if not just for the Jimmy Palmiotti letter that he wrote in the back to all the readers of the book. It is one of the best letters I've ever read in the back of a book.
And it's basically just like you had a conversation with Palmiotti, because we have recordings from him that aren't any more concise than that.
It is so good, and I truly recommend purchasing this book just to read that letter. It's about how they came across the idea of the book.
Well,
and
sort of.
And he, so basically, and so yeah, the breast being sidetracked by breasts and, you know,
who isn't sidetracked by
exactly. Breasts? Well, that's his point.
I think that's his point. Monsters, people that don't deserve breath.
But it talks about, you know, he had the story for this idea. Hence why he's responsible
for the story for this idea.
Yes, the idea for this story. And it shows how he put
Adam Stammering brought to you by the captain.
it shows how he put the team together for this book. And it's really cool. He talks about one of the things in here he talks about is the artist on this book basically bringing his portfolio to Jimmy Palmiotti at a convention and Palmiotti being blown away by it.
Yeah.
And that's how he got to be artist on this book. So people, go to conventions, bring your portfolios. Anything can happen. That's how he got his art job on this book, and the art's well done. So it was exciting. The book's okay. I'm going to pick up the next one. The letter's awesome. I'm hoping for another one in the next issue, and the art's pretty cool.
I think it's worth a first look and worth a second look, and we'll see if it...
Yes, it's a five-parter, and it's...
So what they're saying is get halfway before you quit.
No, you can give it two issues on a five-parter. Hence, War Heroes. Oh, two issues. Done.
You know you're buying the third just to see if there's more dong in it.
Not going to happen. Done with War Heroes. Speaking
of dicks.
We're here with Rob.
Nice.
Now, that's a segue.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, we're here with Rob of Organizer. Proprietor, I don't know if you're a proprietor. I don't know how that works. Greenville Comic Con.
Yes.
General manager.
Are you the owner?
Chief executive
organizer?
Sucker that does it.
Sucker that does it. Greenville Comic Con, and we are here to discuss
Greenville
Comic Con. Yeah, the Greenville
Comic Con
coming
up again. October 25th. Comfort Inn, Lawrence Road, 10 to 4.
All right. Well, thank you, Rob.
Thanks. Bye.
And now over to Dave with sports. So what type of guest list are we looking at this point?
Well, right now we've got some of our all-time favorites.
Last I checked, if you read one of his flyers he has out there, we will be there. And apparently that's it.
No, that wasn't the all-time favorite, actually, that I was talking about.
Oh, well, let's go with it. Let's continue.
I think you guys are on the list somewhere. We didn't really do it alphabetical. J. Chris Campbell will be there. Brad McGinney. Josh Latta. Dwayne Ballinger. James Lyle. Brad Parton. And, of course, the Dollar Bin podcast crew.
Indeed.
They'll be there driving you out of the show, probably.
What type of dealers are we looking at this year? Have you got anybody on tap so far?
Actually, we're almost sold out, to tell you the truth. There's only one or two tables left. But it's a lot of the guys that are always there. Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. Dave's Comics. Dark Side Games is going to be there. It's a video game store. They carry video games and a lot of really cool action figures.
Cool.
Richards Comics and Collectibles, Planet Comics, Earl Shaw, Rick Fortenberry. Heroes and Dragons is coming in from Columbia.
Wow.
Tower Comics, Comics Wanted. Guy Joyner is going to be there. So we've got a lot of really good dealers coming in this year. And one of the things that I know Brian likes and we always do, we've got a lot of good charities we're supporting. And I want to mention it while I'm thinking about it.
I like charities.
We're always a Toys for Tots drop-off point. That never changes every year. And we're doing a different charity to support our food drive this year. The Thornwell Home for Children does a lot of great stuff. Look them up on the web. If you bring a can of food, you get $1 off admission. And bring more than a can of food if you can. We've got a friend of ours that these people helped her for, you know, get not only through school when she stayed with them, they helped her get through college.
Oh.
And these people really help kids out a lot. Hmm. So, you know, comics are about kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, we usually start at that age reading them. And then never grow up.
Now, with the canned food, a lot of people don't put a whole lot of thought into that kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, if you give anything, that's great. But, like, what type of stuff can we recommend to people if you're going to the store specifically to buy something,
just
what would you take?
You want things that, for the most part, are non-perishable.
Like ramen noodles.
Maybe not.
Oh.
You could bring ramen noodles. I'm just messing.
Okay.
That's not perishable, but I don't know. They're really eating that at the kids' home. I was thinking more
kids
like...
Kids love ramen noodles.
Anybody love ramen noodles?
Kids.
Did you eat them unless you had to?
No.
All right.
No, I said no. I love ramen noodles.
You don't have taste buds.
Those of us in the room that actually carry body fat and like the temperature below 90 degrees.
Those of us have eaten something besides lettuce. But I mean, you can bring,
ramen noodles,
you know...
Ramen noodles, goat cheese sandwich, man. Good stuff.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Anyway! You just ramen noodles. But I mean, like vegetables, fruit, stuff like that that's non-perishable.
Any kind of non-perishable canned goods. It can even be dry goods. I'm sure they can use it. When I talked to them and told them that, you know, we were going to be coming, they were really excited and said any help would be appreciated. So,
I mean, it's not like one of the things about both of those charities is that both of them are also incredibly easy to give to. I mean, when you do food drives, I mean, seriously, people, if you buy groceries, you can go to the grocery store and get the kind of stuff that we're talking about.
And who doesn't have something sitting in the cabinet that you went,
that you'll never eat.
Didn't use it. It's still good. Check the date because we do. You know, it's a waste of time otherwise. And I think everybody can do it. The other thing we always do is all military, current or former military personnel get in free. Mm-hmm. Just bring your ID. We let you in free. We appreciate your service.
And the Toys for Tots is also... You know, the time of year we're talking about, most of the big chains and stuff like that, they're going to have sales on toys. You know, Toys R Us, for being a big monster toy chain, is also really great about Toys for Tots during the holiday season because they have drop-offs at their locations. And they also have things specifically on sale for you to give to a charity like that. And for a big monster corporation, I think that's pretty awesome. So, you know, if you're going to Toys R Us to buy something for somebody in your friends or your family, you know, look around. There's some real easy stuff, easy and inexpensive stuff to buy for charities like that.
And kids love toys, so.
I love toys.
Yeah.
Can I say Brian puts his money where his mouth is? Last year he brought me like 3 bags full of toys for Toys for Tots.
And then
I want to give props.
Then he brought more to Richard's Toys for Tots.
Yeah, so while you're calling him an ass and a dick and everything during the podcast, know that the guy puts his money where his mouth is and he really tries to back these charities.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
I love me Toys for Tots. Because, I mean, I was a kid that had stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I grew up with people that I know didn't. So, you know, and if you can't have a toy at Christmas and stuff to play with, that's pretty, you know, that's not a great childhood.
Well, I think a lot of people take that for granted, that people aren't in that situation just because they don't know someone.
Right.
And I think it's a lot more common than people want to believe, especially in this day and age. And I know a lot of people listen to this podcast that aren't from the area.
Right.
But, you know, the Carolinas have experienced a lot of buyouts, a lot of, you know, companies closing. Yeah. And a lot of people out of work.
Huge on textiles down here, and it's not a booming business right now.
So, I mean, it would really help out a lot of families,
you know,
to use the help.
For those of you that listen in other areas, I mean, look around. Like, if you're in the Detroit area, you know, Toys for Tots in the Detroit area, you know, in the Michigan area, where they're having all sorts of problems, economicable? Yeah. Look at the areas like New Orleans and Texas, you know, that are continuously hit with hurricanes and things like that. Toys for Tots is, you know, the Children's Home is a great local charity, and we're glad to be supporting it as well. But from something that all of you losers can do, all of you can go and donate to your local Toys for Tots. And
name one comic fan that doesn't have an unopened action figure sitting on a bookshelf that they can't go donate to Toys for Tots.
Now you're talking silly talk. Not giving up my Matt Wagner Trinity Batman action figure for any little brat.
Ah, there's the Brian we know and love. He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
They will get a board game. They will get Scrabble and learn, damn it.
And like it. I do want to say, if you want any more information about the show, you can go to GreenvilleComicCon.com or email us at info@GreenvilleComicCon.com.
Or the two different MySpace pages.
Well, that GreenvilleComicCon.com forwards you to a MySpace page, correct?
It does, and that is the correct MySpace page.
And then you can go ahead and, while you're there, join up and be a friend.
You can
get updated information.
With Greenville Comic Con, or I think who's number one on their friends list at the Greenville Comic Con on MySpace? I believe that's the Dollar Bin.
Wow. Who picked those?
You could even join, be a friend with those losers. So
and you can also find the links that Rob is talking about on our
site as well.
Plus, if you are one of our listeners who are someplace else, you can also find out information about Toys for Tots on our site. You can find direct link to find out.
It's in the links section on our page.
Our link section is expansive, informative, and luxurious.
It doesn't get a lot of love, though.
I love it.
I love it, too.
Because I don't save a lot of bookmarks. I go to our link section when I want to check out somebody's blog.
So what he's trying to say is the number of hits to their page when they track it is really inflated by Brian being too lazy to
especially at work. Especially at work, if I need to read Rochelle's blog, I go to our page and then click on the link from our page. Speaking of Jay, Chris, and Josh Latta, who you have on the guest list, if you come to the Greenville Comic Con, which you should come, make sure to bug both of them about their super secret projects.
And ask them when they'll be done.
Yes, and ask them when they'll be done, because we're impatient. But you're going to have a lot of dealers.
And Dwayne's is Give Me the Creeps, right?
Yes.
and
he does.
And it's going places. Awesome. His site's going places for sure. He's steadily not working on it. And
not doing anything. Speaking of toys, Dwayne has toys to buy. That kid is going to have the greatest toy collection it can play with of any kid in the neighborhood. Because dad will be busy playing with it himself. Wait a minute.
Buddy, don't lick the package. Put it back.
But yeah, they both have some things coming up. And they will both not be attending as retailers, SPX, which I want to mention real quick, that Devin and I are headed to this upcoming weekend. It's in Bethesda,
what
Maryland.
What time are you guys leaving?
I'm not really sure yet. Nor do I know where we're leaving from. I don't know whose car we're taking. We might take a taxi. I don't know. I don't know how we're getting there.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be taking a taxi to Bethesda, Maryland.
But
you tried train schedule?
It's about 11 hours by train. I almost went that way. That's almost the way I went.
I thought about taking a train to New York.
Yeah, I thought it would just be fun. I was actually going to pay the extra money and get one of the bedroom carts. And just, read books and just hang out in my little room and take the 11-hour drive. So they'll be up there. But we're talking about, heading up there anyway. And I'm still hoping they do. I haven't had a chance to talk to Jay Chris. I meant to call him today. We could call him right now.
Hopefully you'll bump into the crew from Curl Studios.
Yes, Curls will be up there. Rob Allman will be up there.
I have no fear that you'll find Rob Altman.
No. Since Wide Awake will not be there, we'll either
Rob
be
is going to be your table, your home base.
Well, I don't know. It might be Curls. We'll see. It's either going to be Rob or Curls. But that's next weekend.
Warning to both of them.
That's next weekend. There's going to be lots of people up there. But since J. Chris Campbell, Brad McGinty, Josh Latta, Dwayne Ballinger, these people are not going to be at SPX this year. These are regular SPXers that won't be able to make it.
Right.
They will, however, as Rob said, be at the Greenville Comic Con. And
October 25th from 10 to 4th. Come to that large room.
That's right. And
spreading mirth and merriment.
And I'll tell you, man, I'm very stoked about this whole thing. I had a blast at Greenville Comic Con last year. We haven't really talked much about how things went last year, but I had a blast there.
How did things go last year?
Went very well. We had a blast, actually. Normally, if people are kind of curious at the size of the show, I mean, you go to a lot of these shows that are huge. It's a small show. You've got 300 to 500 people showing up. There's pluses to that, too. I mean, when you go in, you're looking at the dealer's tables. You're very typically not being assaulted by 6,000 people like a Heroes Con or somewhere else. And a lot of these dealers go to all those big shows as well. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a lot of the same products that they would take to San Diego, that they would take to New York, that they would take to a MegaCon, only you're getting them in Greenville.
Or Baltimore Comic Con, which occurred last weekend.
You have some very big touring dealers. I mean, these are people that have a stock just for shows.
Exactly.
That load up the caravan.
That's exactly what a lot of these guys
do.
A lot of this stuff never makes it out in their stores.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know Heroes aren't hard to find. They're currently up in Baltimore. And I'm sure, like you said, they'll have the same stock. So if you can't make it up there, you can always come down. And
yeah, they'll
and
have
it
down.
It
I know Heroes and Dragons, same way. Mm-hmm. Dave's Comics.
Mm-hmm.
I know Earl Shaw does a lot of shows. Dave Schenkel. It's a lot of guys, I'm talking everything from the books that came out last week to a Superman 1 can frequently be found at the show.
I mean, I did some shopping. We got a lot of comments and things like that from the show last year, but I did some shopping myself as I always spend too much money at cons. And everybody it wasn't just that they brought their stuff and here, this is $1 million, pay for it. All of them had really good deals too. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for certain things,
honest,
bring your list.
All the travel expenses, they're not paying a zillion dollars for their table.
Yeah.
It gives them a lot more wiggle room on the prices when they're coming to try to talk to people.
Now, I was kind of told a couple weeks ago that we may have, and I believe I announced it anyway, a few people with some private collections maybe set up. Is that still going to be the case?
It's currently being done. There's some fans. I think we have one fan with a nearly 7,000 issue collection
that may be setting up. 15 long boxes or something, and 18 short boxes or something.
Yeah, pretty insane collection.
Wow.
But
and they'll just be looking to get rid of stuff. So
I understand he wants it to go bye-bye.
So he's looking to make some deals probably. But yeah, so there's things like that too. Whereas with a big con, you're not going to get some things like that. It's going to be way more, like you said, personal.
Every year we've got, just really fans, just private collectors that the tables aren't very expensive. So guys, we'll either go together on a table or get one table and just clean out all their stuff. And the beauty of that is these guys aren't really attempting to make a profit. They're just wanting to get rid of the stuff.
Right.
You roll the dice when you go. Maybe you find something, maybe you don't. But it's always worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done a show and not bought something. I know that.
I've never been to one and not bought too much.
I tend to spend money at small shows, and I don't think I spent really any money at the dealer at Heroes or Baltimore when I've gone.
You're too busy working this year at Heroes.
Yeah, this year I was definitely too busy working. But
I got an awesome free T-shirt at Heroes Con.
Did you?
I did.
A few important people got those.
Had a bloody skull on it. It was great.
Was the shirt bloody or the skull was bloody? Or
that might have been the one that Brian was wearing when that thing happened.
Oh, I thought it kind of itched. Great.
Anyway.
So much for DNA test.
But no, I don't usually, but at the smaller cons, I always end up buying something, at the small cons.
You've got more time to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Bradwick and Josh and Jay Chris and Dwayne and those guys will have some cool stuff for sale as well.
I can guarantee you that they're going to have some cool stuff for sale. And I highly recommend, hopefully he still has some copies of Tub Flub. Brad McGinty, those guys, all their stuff is crazy. Josh Lauda, Brad, all those guys. And, it's going to be great because you can go to these are all the mini comic guys that I'm constantly talking about.
Yeah.
They're good friends of ours because they're just great
people.
Right. They're great artists.
I don't want to cut you off.
But are.
Good. I'm good at it. I did want to mention, I put links to all those guys' websites.
Okay.
On the blog at greenvillecomiccon.com. Mm-hmm. So that rather than me put it there and ramble on about, how great I think they are.
Right.
The people could go look at their sites themselves and hear it in their own words or their own art, however you want to do it. But,
And Dwayne, I know that you're busy, but I expect something else featuring Meatloaf at the Greenville Con.
Yeah, maybe Dwayne will have something new.
I expect something involving or mentioning Meatloaf in some fashion.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm all for it. And as I was saying when I was rambling, because...
Yeah, so anyway, Rob, what up?
No,
finish.
The cool thing about it is you're going to have all the dealers that have all your superhero books, all your whatever, Silver Age and all that stuff. But then the artists that we're going to have there, the creators, the J. Chris Campbells, the Dwayne Boundary, these are the grassroots, hands-on mini comic creators. So we're going to have a pretty good little mix there.
And it gives you a chance to try something different, something that's not Marvel, not DC, not Image.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, let's be real. Image and Dynamite really aren't independent comics the way people like to say they are.
Right.
It gives you a chance to really try something.
I mean, even Dark Horse, for that matter, with the brand names that they encompass, aren't really independent comics
anymore. Right. I mean, if you buy...
if you've got George Lucas money in your system, you're not really independent.
If you buy Project Superpowers, your $3 doesn't really mean a damn thing to Alex Ross.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wants you to buy the book, but in buying these guys books and giving them a chance, you really are making a difference.
Yeah, and a lot of them are traveling up from Atlanta, which isn't too far away, but it's it's still a little drive, especially with gas prices the way they are.
Give them a shot. You can commission a sketch.
I'll give them all a shot.
You can try their books, commission a sketch. Some of these guys have toys and t-shirts and kind of cool stuff they've made up. Mm-hmm. It's really different and really cool.
I have each and every one of those guys mentioned in my current sketchbook, and they're all amazing sketches.
I don't have the only one that I have right now is Josh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have
you don't have Brad or Chris or
Dwayne was buying toys the whole show. I mean, he did the Howard the Duck the Scroll
that we gave away
foolishly.
You gave away Howard the Duck the Scroll?
And Dwayne Ballinger, Howard the Duck the Scroll.
It was awesome too.
Oh man, was it? It's on our forum.
There's a picture of it. That is, I mean, Dwayne is really funny. And I very much like his mini comics that I have. But artistically, that Howard the Duck was awesome. It's the coolest thing I've seen him draw. Give it a wink! Not that I'm better.
Good job IQ, man.
But I got a bunny from Josh, but I don't have anything in my sketchbook from J. Chris or Dwayne. And
you
got
to have J. Chris draw your robot.
From Josh. Does J. Chris like robots? Oh,
dude. He occasionally draws robots.
See any robot interest?
You know, and actually, at
I do have his. He gave me what he says is the only copy to his Heroes Con ad that he did with the guys from Zigzag. Really? I do have that.
Did
though.
You get that?
Yes,
that's cool.
I love Icebox. He knows I kind of nagged him. I love the Icebox.
Which he's surprised by. He just doesn't get it. Why you love Icebox?
I can't say why I love Icebox, but I do.
He just doesn't get it.
Rob's a complete idiot. He loves the Icebox robot. I wipe my ass with it, and he still likes it.
I'll tell you, at Free Comic Book Day last time, he was doing robot drawings and stuff for kids, and I actually videotaped one of them, and it ended up being a 3-minute robot. Which he's like, wow, I just did a 3-minute robot. And I put that up on YouTube, I think. I'm going to go ahead and stick that on the site. I'm going to pin that to this show.
Did you put that on YouTube?
I might not have. I have it somewhere. I might not have done anything with it.
I think our only stuff, send me the link to it, and I'll put it on the
Greenville Comic Con MySpace.
Yeah, I'll throw it up on our site. Yeah, I have a 3-minute robot from J. Chris Campbell.
I think the only thing that's on our YouTube page is still the stuff from Baltimore.
Really? I need to get that up there then.
You ought to put our Mixmash. It's a little. Your Mixmash from Heroes Con up on there too.
My awesome little walkthrough. Oh yeah!
So you guys
don't
more,
do a walkthrough for Greenville Comic Con.
It'll be a lot shorter than the
lots of laps.
We'll make lots of laps. What we'll do is we'll make a walkthrough and look to the right.
Well,
make a walkthrough and look to the left.
I'll pick a shorter song with Heroes Con. Hero Con's walkthrough. I actually sped it up, so this one I'll just slow it down.
I'll speed
the song up.
Use an Interstate Love song from STP. It's only like a minute and a half.
But it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a great time. There's gonna be some cool creators there.
What's that info one more time?
GreenvilleComicCon.com. You can email us at info@GreenvilleComicCon.com. It's October 25th at the Comfort Inn on Lawrence Road, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Going to be awesome.
And you can find links on our page. Go to, if you're my friend on MySpace, their site is up on theirs. I think it's up on ours. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can
direct
yourself.
$5 to get in for with a can of food. We didn't mention that. Easy on the pocket.
Toys and food. Bring them both.
Toys and food.
And Rob had that little contest that he mentioned earlier in the day.
I did.
I'm going to throw that number out again real quick. And do you want to throw the contest out again?
Sure. Call the number that Adam's going to say in just a minute, which I didn't write down because I'm incredibly prepared because I didn't even know it existed. And, hey, what can you do? So, you get into the show free if you're the first person to post on the forum, and you get $25 to spend in cash to...
Are you doing the forum or are you doing the voicemail?
On the voicemail. Sorry, guys.
Voicemail, yeah.
Blowing everything.
Leave a voicemail. Have to leave a voicemail.
Yes.
And you need to be in the area that you can come to the show. You know, this does not include airfare and hotels or anything
like
that.
Scotty transporting you in.
Yeah, you need to...
Sorry, none of that.
You need to be... You were going to... Hey, if you were wishy-washy about coming to the show, now you've got a great reason to drive.
Got a great reason to go.
Yeah.
So somebody give us a call.
Yeah, 864-335-9148. That's 864-335-9148. One more time, 864-335-9148.
Call
like a
or
3 a.m. infomercial.
I know, you have to say the number three times. You always, if you listen to infomercials, you have to say it three times. That's how they get stick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. From now up until then, I'm going to start throwing some more contests out. We do have a few more things to maybe give out between now and Greenville Comic Con. I do have a few huggles. And since J. Chris will be there, we have some huggles to give away. Check the website for huggles for anyone who doesn't know what a huggle is.
We ought to include them for all of those guys and not tell any of them. That'll see which one of them's actually listening to the show. You'll get a phone call from Dwayne pretty quick. Why are you promising I'm going to hug people?
But we do have some huggles. Look it up on the website. We have a blog, I believe, on what a huggle is.
Yeah.
It's they're a lot of fun, and they will be redeemable at the Greenville Comic Con.
Huggles are not usable with the Dollar Bin staff. All right, we'll rent out
Devin. Or the Greenville Comic Con staff.
We'll gladly let you use Devin for your physical pleasures. Adam and I have higher standards.
But you got anything else out there?
Let's talk real briefly about what's coming out next week.
Okay.
He's going to tell us.
There's a book by Radical Publishing that I cracked on recently.
Niles one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I cracked on them because they started off with 99 cent issues for their launch and then immediately went to like $4.
Hercules and
Caliber.
I enjoyed the first Hercules 99 cent book though.
I enjoyed it for 99 cents, but not for $4.
Exactly. And the Caliber was okay. But yeah, I'm not.
As Adam said, Steve Niles has a book called City of Dust.
Or did I just cut that?
That they're launching next week, and supposedly this is an idea that has already been used by Niles for something else that they're reusing for the story.
Really?
But in any case, Radical Publishing getting a name like Steve Niles to do a book for them seems to be a big move.
In all honesty, Steve Niles will do anything.
Still, that's a nice move for them.
Is anybody still reading Gotham After Dark?
I hope not.
What's that?
It's probably the worst Steve Niles book I've ever read.
Joe Kelly.
Cash and checks, man. Cash and checks.
Joe Kelly recently, I talked about I Kill Giants, I think is the name of the book.
I read the first issue.
That he's doing
it's on
an
number
Image.
Three or four now.
He's got another book with Image coming out called Four Eyes. The preview for that is in that Back to Brooklyn book, if you pick that up.
That's right. That is.
This is like the first little surge I've seen of Joe Kelly actually doing something not Marvel and DC, so it's kind of interesting that he has two books kind of back-to-back for Image. What I like about both of these is that both of these books seem to be very all-agey. Both of them feature children. Both of them seem to be pretty cool. Now, I haven't read Four Eyes completely, obviously, because it's not out. But in the write-up and the previews, it seems to be along the same veins of I Kill Giants, which is very kid-friendly. Image is a big enough entity that, despite what Robert Kirkman says, they can also reach a child teen market. So I'm interested in that. No Hero, number one, with Warren Ellis. That, it seems like the Zero issue came out 18 years ago, but that's Warren Ellis's, you know.
The Zero issue came out. There hasn't been as long of a gap between the Zero issue of that and the Zero issue of the Captain America Red, White, and Blue, which I believe
was that?
Also
that thing came out in like the next issue in 2011.
Yeah.
What was that?
But No Hero looks like it might be pretty good. It's a standard Avatar Warren Ellis book, though. I'll give it that.
Enough said on that.
A couple of other things to look forward to: Invincible 53 is hitting, which we love. The Invincible. You and Rochelle really talked up Supergirl and the new creative team. Doesn't the new creative team start this month?
Yes, I believe.
That's coming out Wednesday.
There's some good stuff coming from that, yeah.
The next part of the Batman RIP madness is coming out next week. We'll see if that's still just confusing. I'm interested in seeing Jonah Hex this week because they are claiming that they're going to explain why he's still wearing his Civil War uniform, and they're also claiming this has not been done in a comic before.
I've only read the Palmiotti gray Jonah Hex. It's all new to me.
Well, the old Jonah Hexes, and Brian would love this in this day and age, were self-contained.
Yeah. Well, the current Jonah Hex is as well, which is why I like it.
But they didn't really carry a ton of
continuity.
It isn't that they ignored it and there was some, but Hex tends to kill a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of rape in that book.
They don't tend to really come back.
The Spirit, they are finally releasing volume 2 of the last of Darwin Cook's run on that book. It's hardcover, but I bought the hardcover for the first run. I think it's one of those things that is well worth buying a hardcover for.
Great series.
Instead of buying that, I wish Darwin Cook was still doing that book or doing anything we could read right now.
Is Darwin Cook doing anything?
He's got a couple of projects in the microwave or whatever, but nothing, on the shelves.
He's got that kids book coming up soon. Yeah. Which looks like it's going to be pretty cool.
But, all the bashing that we did of the Spirit movie and Frank Miller deservedly so last week, which I'm sure we rambled on and on about,
when is that atrocity coming out?
God, Lord. Talk about it.
Go read Darwin Cook's Spirit, and you'll realize why all of us hate the very idea of Frank Miller's Spirit. That's the best-selling point I'll give for that for the Darwin Cook Spirit series. It was excellent.
Well, Darwin Cook's Spirit was about Spirit, not about Darwin Cook.
Right, and nothing Frank Miller does anymore is not about Frank
Miller. And give mad props to Darwin for being a great creator.
What are you thinking about this new Joker hardcover that's coming out, the Brian Azzarello?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't formulated an opinion yet.
You know, the Lex Luthor storyline he did was probably the
last
thing.
I really like that. That's my favorite Lex Luthor series.
That's probably the last thing I've ever read by Brian Azzarello.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
So, I mean,
as could
the cover looks awesome, or whatever
could,
it is,
as
the,
could do something great with it.
The little cover advertisement thing they've been doing, looks
but I doubt
cool.
that I will like that as much as I liked his Luthor series.
The Luthor series was
because
really good.
For me, not being a fan of Superman, Lex Luthor hadn't had a lot of great stories that I had read previously. I read a lot of really good stuff with the Joker.
And are you familiar with the Marvel Noir?
No. What is that?
Basically, you know all the advertisements you've been seeing, the black
and
white
advertisements? It's about the X-Men, right?
Well, it's going to be about...
Because we need another X-Men book.
Well, they're going to utilize all the Marvel characters. And basically what
it
is...
I just read that it was just X-Men.
The first one is going to be with X-Men. And basically what they're doing...
They've got to have a hook.
Is they're taking the Marvel characters... And they're putting them in this noir setting. And I don't even think they're going to have powers. It's just going to be the character with the name of that character. And like,
so what's the point?
I don't know. Just
criminals.
Criminals
really yeah. good. So they're going
like,
to
yeah. Peter Parker yes. gets raped because you know, absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Criminal. Yeah. Criminals I mean, really good.
Yeah.
So noir we're going to have right lesser yes. talented people try to do criminal with characters that already exist that aren't them?
Yes, noir is the new zombies.
Great idea, Joku. So you basically, hit another one out of the park.
So basically, yeah, they're going to write crime stories with characters who we know and their names and what they look like.
Well, the advertisements look really cool. Yeah. Not going to be buying it.
Like, I think Magneto is a sheriff or something like that. Things like that. It's like he's going to be like a cop or something.
Magneto's Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I picture him going Podna. He's a sheriff.
So, I mean, yeah. Okay. It's something like that. I'm not really sure. All right. But that's what it is. It's that's what Marvel Noir, that's what all those ads were. Brennan actually told me about that weeks ago, but they're finally, that was in the Comic Insider that came out this past week.
That sounds, you know, as always, I'm sure I'll be proven wrong by somebody, but that sounds as great an idea as Marvel Apes does.
Well, is anybody buying Marvel Apes seriously?
You are hit yourself. You don't have to do it hard, just something to teach yourself a little lesson.
So that's all I got.
Everybody man. Loves monkeys.
Well, yeah, but not in my comics like that.
No. Yeah, I don't really need to see Captain America as a gorilla.
No, I'm not.
We've already seen him as a man wolf.
And that was
Brian hasn't finished completing
that's classic
that collection.
It right now it's in our dollar bin boxes.
Oh, you gave up on it?
I couldn't collect it. I was still missing two of the series.
Well, why don't you ask for them? Maybe somebody has them and they'll send them to you. Maybe you can get them at the Greenville Comic Con this year.
That's embarrassing.
I was going to make that suggestion.
That's embarrassing for me and them.
But
because they have them and I'm asking for them.
Guys, if you mail them to Brian, mail them in an unmarked brown envelope.
Well, then I'll confuse it with my porn.
Somehow after you open it, if you confuse Man-Wolf with your porn, I don't want to see your porn.
I
normally like my boys cleaner than that.
You like shaved?
Glad we've gone this route with the show. with the show about a convention that's going to have children
about
and charities
a family
involved.
Con. We have just gone full gutter.
All I think I have left to say is go Terps, go Skins.
I hate you. I don't care about the Cowboys losing. Good news though
good week for
the
football.
Mets continued their choke. God. To remove themselves from playoffs. The bad thing is that they get in at the expense, or they lose so that the Brewers can triumph. And it's hard to root for anything that involves Bud Selig, because that man is a douchebag who is ruining the sport of baseball every year he's a commissioner.
You know, just say go Dodgers.
Actually,
sorry, guys.
I don't like Manny Ramirez.
That's okay. I find baseball to be boring.
Shut your hole. I don't like Manny Ramirez, but I will always root for Joe Torre and Donnie Baseball.
But can I say, in reading about Manny on a comic podcast, we'll talk baseball for a second, that all anybody with the Dodgers has had is anything good to say about him. That's all they've talked about. It's the guy works hard. He's a good teammate.
If you re-sign him, you know from experience, though, that won't last.
As long as he hits 350 with 40 homers and 120 ribbies, I can deal with that for 4 or 5 years.
As long as you've got a time frame for it. Because Boston dealt with it for a couple of years, and then it became, get this guy out of here. I mean, I hope.
Despite what Jeff Kent would have us believe.
Jeff Kent.
He did change the entire complexion of that lineup, and it's why they're winning.
I hope that you guys do keep him, not to wish anything bad on your team.
You just want him to not be in the American League East.
No, I didn't care about him being... I hope that we don't sign him, because there's been scuttlebutt from his agent to push the Yankees to sign him, because Manny has said in an interview that he would like to stick it up the Dodgers' ass, you know, 12 times a year or however many times we play the Red Sox. And I do. We have enough cancer on our team as is. Thank you, Alex Rodriguez. We don't need another one.
Well, at least Manny won't be doing Madonna.
He and A-Rod could throw something together. Who knows? Are you ready for us to stop talking about baseball?
Welcome to the baseball karaoke
hour. You could at least be singing, like, Take Me Out the Ball Game or something in the background. Something by the outfield, maybe. Very nasally.
Wow.
Can I hit stop?
Yes, that's the show.
Okay.